So we know from very young age that stealing is an avera. But oftentimes, these challenges come up all the time in yeshiva. We use our common sense to determine what's considered stealing. But very often, the Torah's view of what stealing is very different than our own. You hear all types of svaras why I should be allowed to do this, he wouldn't care. But it's important to know, just like the general rules, the basic rules, what's considered stealing, what not. Today, I just wanted to focus on one specific type of stealing called shol shelo midas, borrowing without permission. Right, so the Gemara says, we saw in Bava Metzia, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that shol shelo midas nikra gazlin. If someone borrows without permission, they're called a gazlin. So much so that the same way that when someone steals, sorry, same as when someone steals, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, b'heishuv es gzeila, you have to return, you get a mitzvah, a positive mitzvah for returning the stolen item. So too, if you borrow something without permission, if you return it to its owner, there's a mitzvah d'oraisa, b'heishuv es gzeila. It's mamish like gzeila. Fine. So just like a side point about gezel for a moment, just an interesting nekuda to know about. The Medrash says in Parshas Beshalach that someone whose hands are dirty with gezel, they're meluchach with gezel, that they call out to Hashem and they're not answered. Meaning gezel is one of the reasons that that stands serves as an obstacle between us and Hashem, and specifically in tefillah. The Yesod v'Shorash Avodah brings down, he says, that the number one blockage in tefillos is gezel. Meaning someone who's involved or is not clean of gezel, that serves as a blockage for our tefillos to go up. So we know, first of all, davening, is not easy to do. It's kavanah b'tefillah, I'll just give it a shout out, is not something that's easy. And there's so much that we need, ruach nidus gashmius. The last thing we want to do is make it harder for ourselves to make any obstacles. So it's very important, borrowing that permission, super, super lamaisa. So let's just lay down the basic rules, for the specific applications. You ask a posek, but just it's always important to know just the general quality. So there's three variations of the iser. Right, number one is the pashut case of borrowing without permission. Right, you take someone's umbrella, you use it without asking, you dry your hands on their hand towel without asking. Shol shelo midas, gazlan. That's number one. Variation number two is borrowing with permission, but not keeping to the terms of the borrowing. For example, if you go to a supermarket, right, they let you borrow a shopping cart, but that doesn't mean you take the shopping cart home. Meaning, even if you're going to return it, that's not the term, that they don't let you have it with that in mind, that you're allowed to take it home and use it and just bring it back whenever you want. Another example, yeshiva svarim. So different yeshivas have different rules. But yeshiva sefer, obviously it's there for you to borrow. But does that mean you're allowed to take it back to the dorms? Can you take it on a trip with you? Can you keep it in your makom? So it depends on the rules that yeshiva has. But again, that would be an example of you're borrowed with permission, you were shol b'rishus, but not keeping to the terms of the borrowing. Fine. Third variation is using someone's property without permission, right? Trespassing, parking in a private parking lot. I once heard of an application sitting on someone's bed, right? Let's say they're a makbid in the dorms. They're sitting on someone's bed and they don't want you sitting there. So l'chora, that would be like trespassing, meaning it's their rishus, that would be shol shelo midas. Fine. Doesn't matter if he's not using it right now. Still, all these three cases would be, again, we're going to go through the Teirim, but that pashut would be, on the surface, would be awesome. Fine. What's the famous classic Shiloh when it comes to shelo midas? Is let's say I know for sure he's gonna let. That's the classic. That's the classic Shiloh. He's for sure gonna let. So we saw last year in Bava Metzia, Tosos says that we paskin like Abaye, yish shelo midas lo haviyish. If I know someone is going to be miyayish, Abaye says we don't consider it as if he's miyayish right now. So Toso says, so too, Rishus Shalom Midas Lo Haver Rishus, that even though I know for sure he's going to let, that doesn't mean that right now I could assume that's not considered permission right now. That's what Toso says. Fine. So the Shach and Chumash and Mishpat, he argues on Tosus. He's an Acharon, he argues on Tosus, he says, Lule de Mistafina, he's machalik between Yush and Rishus, and he says, he comes out that it would be permitted. Fine. How do we pass? Again, but he only says it would be permitted if it's 100% that he would let. Meaning, if you're not sure and Masami would let, that wouldn't be okay. The Shach only would permit in a situation where you're 100% positive that he would let. Okay. Fine. So how do we pass in? So the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Aruch Harav, the Orcha Shulchan, they all say we pass like Tosos. That even if you know 100% he's going to let, it's not going to permit you to borrow his item. However, it is important to know that, you know, there is the sheet of the Shach that many, you know, do rely on. If someone's relying on it, they have what to rely. It could be in certain situations, you know, someone would be matir to rely on it. But l'chadchila, ideally, we should pass ma'itosus. That would be the pashtus.
Wait, is this the Shach that lived recently or the other Shach?
What do you mean? Oh, no, this is the Shach on Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, this is the Shach on Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpah over there in Shinun Ches. Fine. So I just want to speak out three heterim that even according to Tosos, it would be mutter. Okay. Heter number one is if there's no chashash, hefsit, or kilkel. Meaning borrowing an item that if you borrow it, there's a 0% chance anything will happen to it. For example, if your roommate has a chair, right, to sit on that chair, a hanger, you know, a hanger, the hard type that wouldn't break, so that you're allowed to borrow even without asking, there's no chashash, hefsit, or kilkel. When Tosu says that it's usur to assume that he, you know, to use the fact that he would let, that would be as if he let right now, that's only talking about assuming that he would let. But in a situation where everybody would let, so there, Tosos would agree that it would be mutter. Fine. That is if there's no chashash, hefsit, or kilkel. So that would be heter number one. Heter number two, even if there is a chashash, hefsit, or kilkel, if there's a previous minhug among you and this person, that you're knowing that you always borrow these things from each other, right? Roommates, it's normal, you always sit in each other's beds. Or you always borrow, you know, wipe your hands in each other's towels or whatever it is. Borrow each other's coffee, again, even if it gets used up. If it's a normal thing, that would be another heter. An interesting application of this, the Orach HaShulchan says, which actually happened to me once, is that, right, in places where many people have the same color jacket or coat, so it's common that you can take someone else's and someone... So I, you know, I was walking home wearing someone else's coat and mine was left there. So if the person found mine, would he be allowed to wear it? So the Orach HaShulchan says that there's like an accepted minhag that he would want you to wear it. The person would want you to wear it until you met up again. Meaning, so you'd be allowed to wear that person's thing. If you know he took yours, he would allow you to wear his. That you are allowed to assume. That's how the Orach HaShulchan, interesting application of this minhag. Fine. Third and final heter is a dvar mitzvah. Right, so the Gemara says in Pesachim Daf Dalid, nichle le'inish le'avid mitzvah b'mamone, that it's nicha, it's good, it's pleasant for a person that a mitzvah get done with his mamon. So based on this, we say that for a mitzvah purpose, that would be a heter to borrow someone's stuff without permission. Fine. The classic application of this, Shulchan Aruch says, is talis and tefillin. Right, to borrow someone's towel without asking, or it's film without asking. So me'ikar adin, it would be mutter. And it could be, you have to know nowadays, if someone would be makbid tefillin, you know, meaning we have more expensive tefillin, some people are more careful about it. But me'ikar adin, it would be mutter. But there are still three conditions for this. Yeah, what do you say, Manny?
The other two, were they not me'ikar adin? Like, is it not ideal to rely on those other heterim? If you have a previous agreement with someone, but you didn't ask them this specific time, should you, is it ideal to not rely on that?
No, I think it's l'chachila. Meaning, Tosus would never say it's aser. Meaning, if something that's no chashash, hefzer, or kilkel, everybody would let. Like, why wouldn't I let you sit in my chair? Meaning,
if you know that this person has like some weird, you know.
True. If you know there's a certain hakpada, I hear. Right. It is totally on his hakpada, but you're allowed to make certain assumptions. But all right, if you know this person's a little, you know, crazy about his stuff, then yeah, then it wouldn't be okay. But yeah, I think it's even
lechachila. Sitting on someone's bed is no chashash, hafsid, or kilkul. They just don't like, it's just known that some people don't like him to sit on their bed.
Right. So interesting. So I don't know if Harriet, how would that apply to like trespassing, right? Me walking through someone's backyard, there's no chashash, hafsid, or kilkul. So yeah, I feel like maybe this heter wouldn't apply to that type of stealing. Meaning if there's a minhag, there's an accepted, you know, shortcut that everyone walks through like a certain backyard, that would be one thing. If there's like a minhag everyone knows, but if this person's makbid, you know, then you definitely can't, even if there's no chashash heter kilkul. Right, so maybe that heter only would apply to like an item. A trespass, right, the bed, there's no chashash heter kilkul, they're sitting on it. But that's more of like a trespassing type of application of this. I hear that's a good point. Fine. So dvar mitzvah. So there's three conditions in order to permit this. So the first of all, it can't be bikvias. It can't be that you're borrowing his talis every single day. Meaning without asking. You know, he's in an earlier minyan, you're in a later minyan, you take it every single day. It can only be on a non-permanent basis. So what's considered permanent, what's not considered permanent? One definition I heard, I think, quoted from the Sivas, that once every 30 days. Now that's considered arai. Pretty more than that might be considered too often. Okay, that would be one. Number two is you're only allowed to borrow it in that place or in that room where it is. You can't be taking his talis or tefillin elsewhere to a different minyan or out of that room. That would be number two. And number three, you would have to return it in the way you found it. You should wrap it up in the same way, fold the talis in the same way. Fine. And again, just to emphasize, Mishnah Berurah says that you shouldn't rely in just in general. You should always, if he's around, you should ask. Meaning if it's possible to ask him, you should ask. Which like guys were like, it's interesting. I have to see what we'll talk about Sfarim in a moment. But you know, nowadays where it's so easy just to text people, right? Should you text the guy every single time you want to safer? I'm not sure. Like how far do we go with that? Okay, not sure about that. But it was one more before Sfarim, and we'll end with that. Another example is a sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch says that it's mutter to borrow someone's sukkah without permission. It's actually all happened to me once. In the place where I used to live, I had a sukkah like in my parking, like in like the parking lot. And you know, one day I got home and my neighbors told me, like, oh, like who'd you have like in your sukkah today? And like I had no idea that, you know, the whole family just parked there and ate lunch there. So I thought it was like super interesting, like you just walk into someone's sukkah, but apparently it's Mamash Mutter. However, the Mishnah Berurah says over there that if it's possible that the Baal Bayis is going to come home, then you shouldn't be doing this because he's going to be embarrassed to walk into his sukkah if other people are there. I mean, if you know someone's away for Chol HaMoed or something, they're not going to be around. Okay, then it's totally okay to use your sukkah without permission. But if it's possible that he's going to come back, really the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't be doing this. Fine. And the last application, we'll just end with this, is Sfarim. The Ramah says that it's usher to borrow people's Sfarim because they will likely get ruined. They're very delicate. Poskim say nowadays this is different. Sfarim are not as delicate as they used to be. They're higher quality. But again, only with two conditions would this be permitted. First of all, you should put it back after. And second of all, only in the place. Meaning if you borrow something, say without permission, you shouldn't be taking it to a different room. Meaning that not. And further, if there's like a message, you know, some people write like certain threats, you know, in the front cover of their sefer, like do not use or whatever, like that's different. Meaning if they show their makbid, then not. Meaning the assumption is that people want you to use their sfarim, right? People like a lamed hevav, Lashem ha'aretz u'maloha, right? Hashem owns everything. That's what it stands for. That's like a, you know, indication that they're happy to use, they're happy for you to use their sefer. But it should be in the place. Now, in terms, again, the guys wanted to know yesterday, like, if someone's not there, do you have to text them that, like, can I use your safer? I'm not sure. Let's find out about that. But that's the basics of this. So, yeah, and it mamish comes up, like, almost every day you see this. But it's important to have a certain sensitivity to other people's money. I'm sitting with the guys at the table. Like, people are just, like, fidgeting around with other people's stuff. Things break, whatever it is, like, other people's stuff is like fire. It has to be, it's mamish. We have to be so sensitive and so careful. The last thing we want is gezel, stam is an avera, or chas shalom to plak, eight filos. Shkoyach. That's my whole little shtickle.
Amen.
Thanks so much for listening.
Rabbi, I had a quick question.
Let's hear it. What do you say?
Wait, so one is with the sparim. People in different communities, they tend to be more makbid than others. So
meaning without like, writing anything inside? What? Meaning, like what do you mean? What's an example? Like people are makbid, like you cannot no
people
one uses that one's
wealthier term? Backgrounds tend to be more makbid.
Right. I guess if you know it's that type of guy, you probably shouldn't use it.
Or should why shouldn't the logic be that okay, they're like a minority, probably the
that's what I told,
minority.
Being really is a chazaka, everyone wants misses to be done with their stuff. So like we're even though
right.
I hear you. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's where I was.
And also with the safer, with like borrowing someone's safer, our base measure has two floors. Does that, if I go to the bottom floor, would that be an issue? Like I take someone's safer from the top floor, bring it to the bottom floor?
I'm not sure. I don't have it 100% clear. What's pshat in this, that it has to be in the same place? Is it that the owner can come back anytime and like you'll be able to give it to him? Or is it just like he would be makbid not to have it elsewhere? I wasn't sure about that. I'm not exactly sure what like the lumdus is of like Dafka in that place. I was wondering about that. I don't know. You guys have any ideas? I don't know. But yeah. I feel like the general rule is like stay in the place. Like that's like it's a good general rule.
Those qualifications that you mentioned about the non-permanent basis there in a specific place and if it's possible to ask, does that go for all three of the heterim that we mentioned about the meaning? In any of those situations where we said it is allowed, you still need to make sure that these things do not apply. Like, even though there's no chashash hafsid or kilkel, you still need to make sure it's not on a permanent basis and not in that place. Is that? I just wanted to know, where did those...
No, I know. I hear that. I think those heterim were said. I think Mr. Brewer said them in the context of mitzvah. That's how I learned it in that context. But like, I'd say someone has a chair, you know, like your roommate has a keter chair in his room. So like... Right, you have to like you could only sit on it, not bekvias. I don't know. That sounds a little funny. You know, like once every 30 days, sit in his chair. Like I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was asking. So it's only if you're using it for a mitzvah purpose, even though there's a chashash or kilkel, you like and
yeah, that's what, I think that's what I would guess.